Amos chapter 4. Hear this word, ye kine of Bashan, that are in the mountain of Samaria, which oppress the poor, which crush the needy, which say to their masters, bring and let us drink. The Lord God hath sworn by his holiness that, lo, the day shall come upon you that he will take you away with hooks and your posterity with fish hooks. And ye shall go out at the breaches, every cow at that which is before her, and ye shall cast them into the palace, saith the Lord. Come to Bethel and transgress at Gilgal. Multiply transgression, and bring your sacrifices every morning and your tithes after 3 years, and offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven, and proclaim and publish the free offerings, for this liketh you, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord. And may God bless unto us the reading of his holy word and grant unto us a correct understanding of this short passage. We dealt last time with the latter half of chapter 3. Verse 7 told us that Jehovah does nothing without making it known by his prophets. And we saw many instances of this in Holy Scripture. At the flood, at Sodom, the plagues in Egypt, examples in the book of Joshua, Nineveh, and then our Lord warning the Jews before the overthrow of Jerusalem under Titus in the first century AD. The gospel being made known to a representation of every nation under heaven at Pentecost. For this was the case. There were representatives there of every nation under heaven. And those representatives heard the gospel in their mother tongue. What those nations did with it afterward, if they spurned it and refused it, then the divine principle might well have come into operation that it was visited upon children's children. But every nation had the gospel communicated to them on that day. And that was the reason for the gift of tongues. And as Amos issued God's final warning to Israel, he said, who can but prophesy when they know God's purposes? And then in verses 9 and 10, even the heathen nations, though they were guilty of the selfsame sins as Israel, yet were they summoned by Jehovah to testify to the fact that he was but dealing justly with his once favored people. Verse 11 briefly sets out the appointed judgment. They would be encompassed, scattered, and spoiled. Then in verse 12, the remnant is pictured. Only a small portion of the whole, but they would be taken out of the mouth of the lion. Two legs and a part of the ear. Wonderful analogy here of the and to the enlightened mind of the remnant of grace, rescued from the adversary by the good shepherd at Calvary. We referred back to the life of David, where the shepherd lad there in the plains of Ephrata rescued a lamb of his father's flock from the mouth of the lion and from the paw of the bear. Such was our deliverance by the good shepherd on Calvary's cross. And such as are rescued hear his voice and follow him, typified here by the ear and the legs. Then the last three verses continue to speak of the northern kingdom's end, with particular reference to her altars of Bethel, which was the root cause of her overthrow, a departure from the pure worship of Jehovah. And we now move on into chapter 4. Hear this word, ye kine of Bashan, that are in the mountain of Samaria, which oppress the poor, which crush the needy, which say to their masters, bring and let us drink. Hear this word, ye kine of Bashan. Now Amos is not addressing the animal kingdom here. This is figurative language of proud and wealthy rulers. In verse 1 of chapter 4, we have but a continuing report upon Israel's affluence, such as was before us last week, with their winter houses, their summer houses, their houses of ivory, and so on, as is reported in verse 15 of chapter 3, and then we continue straight into chapter 4. Hear this word, ye kine of Bashan. Ye kine of Bashan. Bashan was an area of the northern kingdom which was noted for its luxuriant and verdant pastures. This area turned out some of the finest of cattle and sheep. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 14 will just throw a little light upon this area. Butter of kine and milk of sheep, with fat of lambs and rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat, and thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. Ezekiel 39 and verse 18 is another reference. Ye shall eat the flesh of the mighty and drink the blood of the princes of the earth, of rams, of lambs, and of goats, of bullocks, all of them fatlings of Bashan. Their stock bulls, too, were so highly bred, so full-blooded, such sleek animals as to be fierce and dangerous beasts. Such are referred to in the book of Psalms, Psalm 22 and verse 12. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths. Frightening animals. However, as Amos addresses these wealthy rulers, he does not liken them to the strong bulls of Bashan. Rather does he address them as kine, the female species. You see, they may be of Bashan, analogous of prosperity and affluence, but they had become effeminate and weak. To use the language of Jeremiah, which we looked at last week, Israel was sottish, soft. Her magistrates and judiciaries were weak and lenient. Oh, how these words dovetail with the whole scene. Soft, sottish, with almost a subtle sarcasm, the prophet uses most reproachful phraseology, likening Israel's rulers to soft, docile cows. It was a word of scorn, as Almighty God speaks thus through his servant. You may be in the promised land. You have grown sleek and fat on all that I have provided for you. But I now take no more account of you than female cattle. The words of Almighty God to a once favored people. Hear my word, ye cows. What a word of contempt to those who after the flesh descended from the loins of Abraham, and who thought because of this were forever entitled to the blessings of God. Friends, I say again, it was only those of true faith who entered into the spiritual blessings of the patriarch. And so it is today. So it is today. Calling themselves Christians and attending church services may give the appearance of Christianity, but if there is not a true God-given faith, then such people are like Asaph, who said in Psalm 73 in verse 22, so foolish was I and ignorant, I was as a beast before thee. Yes, the God of heaven views those who are professors but not possessors as being as foolish as a beast of the field. And alas, I feel there are many such in our day, just as there were in the days of Amos. The latter part of verse 1 brings to us again the drunkenness, debauchery, and violence, the breakdown of law and order, which was so much the content of our last section that I shall not enlarge upon this evening. Now to verse. The Lord God hath sworn by his holiness that, lo, the day shall come upon you that he will take you away with hooks and your posterity with fish hooks. The imagery is graphic. The northern kingdom is likened unto a huge fish pond around which the enemy is encircled. And one by one, like captive fish on a hook, they're being drawn out. I have sworn by my holiness, saith the Almighty, that this shall be so. Verse 3. And ye shall go out at the breaches. Every cow, note the word again, every cow at that which is before her, the feminine gender. And ye shall cast them into the palace, saith the Lord. Or the alternate rendering in our authorized version is, thou shalt cast away the things of the palace. Ye shall go out at the breaches, every cow at that which is before her. All your finery, your luxurious living, you will cast away, Israel. In a day soon to come, you will flee your palaces and your houses of ivory. And like petrified cattle seeking to escape one behind the other through a narrow gap in a fence, so will you force through any breach which you can find. Oh, beloved, as I study these books of the minor prophets, I am more and more impressed by the vivid imagery. The figures of speech which are used by the Holy Spirit are of tremendous significance. If only ministers had paid more attention to these inspired writings of the minor prophets in past generations, I am perfectly sure that the professing church today would not have such a sickly, sentimental appreciation of the Almighty as they now have. The God of heaven is a God of holiness. He is a God of rectitude. He is a God of justice, as well as being a God of love. And never does his love or any other attribute outshine his holiness. Notice again, friends, the authenticity of all this, as continually does the prophet reiterate, saith the Lord, saith the Lord. You find it in every two or three verses. Oh yes, this was an authentic message. Now we come to verses 4 and 5. Come to Bethel and transgress at Gilgal. Multiply transgression. Bring your sacrifices every morning, your tithes after 3 years, and offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven, and proclaim and publish the free offerings, for this liketh you, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord God. Gilgal is the Gilgal near Shechem, as we have seen in the months past. Let me refresh your memories of this. I know we've turned to it several times as we've come through Hosea and also since we've entered the book of Amos. But we must keep this at the back of our minds, for this is fundamental. And this that happened at Shechem is the key to the whole situation. The first book of Kings, chapter 12 and verse 1. First book of Kings, chapter 12 and verse 1. And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel were come to Shechem to make him king. And it came to pass when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was yet in Egypt, heard of it, for he was fled from the presence of King Solomon, and Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt, that they sent and called him, and Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came. And here it was at Shechem that the northern tribes split from the house of David and set up their rival throne and worship under Jeroboam. We move on to verse 27 of the first book of Kings, chapter 12. Verse 27, if this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Jeroboam, king of Judah. And they shall kill me, and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Whereupon the king took counsel, and made two calves of gold, and said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And he set the one in Bethel, and the other put he in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. And he made an house of high places, and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. And this mixed and impure worship had gone on for many generations, over 150 years, despite God's continual pleading and warning. Now Amos, the mouthpiece of Jehovah, with words which can only be described as being ironical, says, carry on, Israel, carry on. Multiply transgression. I say, what irony. And this is what happens in the ultimate when men and women deliberately refuse to hear the voice of God. Did not the Almighty warn early civilization in the book of Genesis, chapter 6 and verse 3, that his spirit would not always strive with man? And neither will it. Let me remind you of those solemn words in the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 1 and verse 19. Romans 1, verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up. You may do as you please now, Israel. You do as you please. No longer will I restrain you. You're not now my people, and I am no longer your God. Look again at the latter part of verse 4. Bring your sacrifices every morning and your tithes after 3 years. Continue to bring them, says the Almighty. Oh, yes. Every morning were sacrifices made in Bethel and Dan, just as at Jerusalem. But it is as one has pointed out from the scriptures so many times. Oh, how many times have I said this? The first commandment binds us to the worship of the true God. And the second commandment binds us to the worship of the true God in the true manner. And the second is as important as the first. Indeed, he that offendeth in one part is guilty of all. The fact that Israel sacrificed every morning, just as they did in Jerusalem, did not count for a thing. The reason being that the northern tribes were operating outside of the mandate of Scripture. The reason being that the northern tribes were operating outside of the mandate of Scripture. Now, is not this a pertinent word for our day? Oh, how many say, we all worship the same God. Mr. Jones is a Roman Catholic. Mr. Brown is a Pentecostal. Mr. Smith is an Anglican. Mr. Snooks is a Methodist. And so on. What does it matter? We all read the same Bible, sing many of the same hymns. Ah, friends, but is the worship of God's ordering? Is it of God's ordering? Are the practices according to divine ruling? Or is there that which is extra-biblical? Things which have crept in, which find no warrant in Scripture, but they please the congregations. Maybe they draw in extra people. Yet they're outside of the mandate of Scripture. They're extra-biblical. Or perhaps there are things which God demands in worship which are lacking. They're not popular to this day and age. Some who sit in the pews find them offensive. And so it's dropped out of the church's thinking. It dropped out of the pulpit. That's where the failure was first. There was a need to minister along a certain line in order to correct defaulters in the pew. But for fear of annoying and causing trouble, maybe, the minister was silent. And that's where the trouble starts. Oh, a minister's duty does not finish when he comes down from the pulpit steps. If he is ministering along certain lines, necessary lines in a church, and the ministry is not bearing fruit, there are those that obviously, although they hear the word, they're not prepared to do it, then the minister's responsibility is to continue in private counsel with those concerned. And if there be not a listening ear, if there be a rebellious spirit, that those people will not conform to the teaching of Holy Writ, then the minister, in company with the church, is to exercise discipline. Yes, there were things which were extra-biblical. There were things which were lacking. This was Israel's trouble. And this is the trouble with many churches today. Oh, true it was, Israel called upon the name of Jehovah. They claimed him as their God, but they wanted extras in their worship. And there were some matters which they wanted to omit. No, says the Eternal, no. I am to be worshipped in spirit and in truth. in truth, in the true manner, according as I have laid it down. But Israel had long since said, no, no, we prefer our order. Now the Lord says, all right, carry on. Brethren and sisters, I wonder how many places of worship that this is true of today. And I fear it could be many. This is a very solemn word. Let us all beware that, like Moses, we might never deviate from the divine pattern as was showed to him in the Holy Mount. The book of Hebrews, chapter 8 and verse 5. Moses was to see to it that he departed not from the pattern showed to him in the mount. And we have the pattern laid down for us today in the infallible Word of God. And we are to see to it that we do not depart from that pattern set out for us. Look again at verse 4. Your tithes after 3 years. Deuteronomy chapter 3 and verse 28 is the reference here. At the end of 3 years, thou shalt bring forth all the tithe of thine increase the same year, and shalt lay it up within thy gates. Oh yes, Israel was doing some of it all right. They were not wrong on everything. But what they did not seem to realize was that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Every 3 years, the required tithes were brought into Bethel and Dan. But God wasn't interested. You're only multiplying transgression, says he. Beloved, could a clearer word be spoken? How could a more solemn warning be sounded than is sounded here? Verse 5 continues, and offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven, and proclaim and publish the free offerings, for this liketh you, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord God. Very enlightening is the content of this verse. Sacrifices of thanksgiving and free offerings. But note, friends, there is no mention of sin offerings or of trespass offerings. That which was a fundamental requirement of God was missing. The sin wherewith Jeroboam had caused Israel to sin was one of addition and subtraction to the divine mandate, and the people perpetuated it. Why? For this liketh you. Oh, we'll bring the thanksgiving offering and the free offerings. We don't want to bother too much about the sin offering or the trespass offering. You see, there was not only the addition of the golden calves and of all the Baal worship which had crept in, but there was subtraction. And this people perpetuated it. Why? For this liketh you. This liketh you. Beloved, you cannot deal with the God of heaven after this manner. Be it B.C. 787 or A.D. 1987. Our God is a jealous God. He's jealous of his word. He's jealous of his name. And he's jealous of his honor. And if we are disobedient to his word in any shape or form, knowingly, his name is dishonored. His honor is besmirched. Offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven, and proclaim and publish the free offerings, for this liketh you, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord God. Offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven, saith the Lord. Offer it with leaven, saith the Lord. But this was expressly forbidden. We go back to the book of Leviticus, chapter 2, and verse 11. No meat offering which ye shall bring unto the Lord shall be made with leaven, for ye shall burn no leaven. No such offerings as contained leaven were to be offered unto the Lord. But Amos bids Israel go on in the manner in which they were going. Carry on in your own way, he says. Break God's commandments, if it so please you. Now this is a most grave way of speaking. And we must remember that behind the words of Amos were the words of God himself. The one who is here saying, come, do this, is none other than he who abhorreth those selfsame deeds. Yes, these selfsame deeds were abhorrent to God. And yet now he speaks and says, offer your sacrifices with leaven. Now the one who is here saying, come, do this, is not speaking as inviting, but as expelling. Not in exhortation, but in indignation. Not as accepting, but as abandoning. Come to Bethel and transgress, saith Jehovah. Bring your sacrifices every morning. Carry on with your tithes every 3 years. Offer it all with leaven, if you will. Proclaim and publish all your activity. Advertise well. Give plenty of publicity to all your activity. Keep all your assemblings before the public eye. You like it this way. So shall it be. These words are spoken in cold irony. They are said with the indignation of one forsaking, as is found in other instances in Holy Writ, such as our Lord's words to Iscariot the betrayer in John's Gospel, chapter 13 and verse 27, that thou doest, do quickly. Or one of the closing utterances made by the great head of the church in the book of the Revelation, chapter 22 and verse 11, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. Let those today who have departed in any way from God's sacred mandate return to the old paths before such churches drift so far in their so-called worship that God in righteous indignation deals with them as he dealt with the northern kingdom, saying, this liketh you. Then multiply your transgressions. Oh, how solemn is this word, friends. Let all who hear it ponder it and take it to heart, and may God, by his grace, ever keep the witness of North Road Chapel pure and clear for his glory. Amen.